We are continuing our sermon series, the Gospel of John, and our series called That You May Believe. We're up to sermon number 204, and we'll be finished. We're getting through this. And we're finishing off chapter 16. We started it last Sunday, so feel free, if you have a Bible with you, we'll be starting in verse 16 of John chapter 16, or wait for the slides as we go along, and I have to say this. All right, Jen, Jeremy, didn't know you'd be here or not. I did not plan this, I'll have you know. But it just so happens, and you'll know exactly what I mean when we get into this, it just showed up in our reading for today. So, you know, here I am on this Sunday, no idea, but something's coming up just for you. Okay. Don't be alarmed. All right, John 16. Oh, and I may just blab a little bit in between some of these verses, Diane, so just to keep you on your toes. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples here in the upper room, right? On the night he was to actually be betrayed, he's going to the cross. And so he went on to say, in a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. And of course, we're looking at this, you know, backwards. So we know what he's referring to. He's going to go to the cross, but 3 days later, he's going to rise again. But of course, the disciples have no idea about this. And so at this, some of them said to one another, what does he mean? What does he mean by saying, in a little while, you'll see me no more? And then after a little while, you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father, which he mentioned earlier. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. You know, because they're very worried now. This one that they've given their whole lives to is now says he's leaving. And in a little while, they're not going to see him. So Jesus saw they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. We'll get into that later on, maybe a bit here this morning too, but there are all kinds of things in this world, people and else other things that are just joy stealers, right? In that day you'll no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And okay, as we get into these verses again, and we've mentioned this before, you know, this isn't a blank check, but as we ask for things in Jesus' name, it means we're asking the Lord for things that line up with what he would be asking for and desiring for us. Now, until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So regardless of what God does or doesn't do according to what we'd like, we keep asking, and our joy will be complete. We'll get into that later on too. Now, though I have been speaking figuratively, he said, a time is coming when I'll no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I'll ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. And then Jesus' disciples said, oh, now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. They still don't get everything at the moment, but they know, okay, he's going back. Now we can see that you know all things. In other words, he knew what they were all thinking about and talking about before they even said anything to him. You know all things. And you do not need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. So once again, you know, they're very bravely, you know, hey, we've seen this before, right? Oh no, though everybody leaves you, I won't. And so then Jesus says, do you now believe? A time is coming, and in fact has come, this very night actually, when you'll be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's kind of a lengthy passage, I know. And I'm just going to pull a few things out of it for us here this morning. First, just a quick comment on verse 20. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. And I would venture to say that this is one of those places in the Bible where we read that word world, but it doesn't mean the whole planet. The estimated world population at the time of Jesus was somewhere between 170 and 300 million people. The existence of a thriving Chinese society is a well-known historical fact. People in that part of the world would have had no idea of any of these events here in Jerusalem, if they even knew there even was a Jerusalem. But these apostles' world, the world of all those who were followers of Jesus, their world will be coming to a crashing halt. And in only just a few hours after Jesus makes these statements here in the upper room. At his crucifixion, there were many who cheered. All those people who yelled, "Crucify him." Now, this only occurred to me the other day. You know how we talk about the angels of heaven rejoicing over one sinner who repents? Well, on that weekend, among the demons of hell, the fallen angels, oh, there was a lot of rejoicing. He won, or we won, right? He's dead. He's gone. They were rejoicing until Sunday morning. Uh-oh. And can you imagine, though, the overwhelming sorrow that these followers of Jesus would have had? There were many people who would have celebrated the death of this troublemaker from Nazareth named Yeshua. But how much his followers would have wept and mourned for him, and they did. But what a story, and we read it every Easter, right? Mary Magdalene, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. There is a joy for us when we come to find Jesus for ourselves. And it's a joy no one can take away. And as I mentioned, a lot of joy stealers in our world today. I'll say more about that in a moment, but first, okay, and thankfully, I personally did not notice any of this, certainly among the people I know, but it's been well documented recently that there were many people who were posting on their social media this month their pleasure at hearing that Charlie Kirk had been murdered there in Utah. Pretty scary to think, isn't it? And people these days, they receive death threats if they say something, "Oh, I don't like that." So they receive death threats, and people were cheering. Charlie Kirk is gone and President Trump is next. I mean, do you know that whole thing? Thankfully, there were a lot, and I would say even more, the vast majority, and even some very high-profile people, people who even admitted they were not in agreement with all of the beliefs of Charlie Kirk, but they made it very clear. It's never right to celebrate anybody's death, especially a young husband and father. Even in the much-anticipated return to late-night television of Jimmy Kimmel this past week. I push all the buttons, don't I? You know, the audience went very quiet for a moment when Jimmy praised Erica Kirk, the wife of Charlie. And when he said at her husband's funeral that she had forgiven his killer. And I looked it up so I could quote it directly today. Kimmel said, she forgave him. That is an example we should follow. He said, if you believe in the teachings of Jesus as I do, there it was. That's it. A selfless act of grace, forgiveness from a grieving widow. And you could see it as he said it, you know. It touched him deeply. Jimmy Kimmel finished that segment of his monologue by saying that if there was anything we could take away from this tragedy, he said, I hope it's that. A selfless act of grace. People still take notice of that, you know. And in our broken world today, well, may we be seeing even more hearts softened and open towards the love of God through Jesus in the days and months ahead. Some of you might have even noticed it was kind of high profile, but Tim Allen, remember Tim Allen from Home Improvement and To Infinity and Beyond and all that stuff? he posted on X, and he said, you know, he was so moved by Erica Kirk, what she said, that there was a man, a drunk driver, who Tim Allen had hated for 60 years because when Tim Allen was just 11 years old, his father was killed by that drunk driver. Tim Allen said, today, I forgive him. I was listening to somebody who was speaking on a YouTube video. And actually, Evan, you sent me this YouTube video, and I can't remember the guy's name. But anyway, this person acknowledged that all of us are broken people. I angered somebody one time when I said, we're all broken. No, we're not. And I said, no, we're broken in many ways. But this man said this. I don't know if you remember it, but I'll always remember this. He said there's a difference between being broken and being broken open. Interesting, eh? I mentioned Mary Magdalene. Do you remember the other Mary we looked at one Sunday? Mary of Bethany, the woman with that jar of expensive perfume that she anointed Jesus with. That perfume and its beautiful fragrance, none of that could come out until that jar was broken. Broken open. My title for this sermon, by the way, I'm going to get some water here. My title for the sermon, by the way, is called Transformed into Joy. Transformed into Joy. I'm about to be transformed myself. Okay. I was reading something in a commentary by Warren Wiersbe at this point. He says that in Jesus' illustration of the woman giving birth, that same baby that caused the pain also caused the joy. Jesus is not saying that the mother's pain was replaced by joy, but that the pain was transformed into joy. In the Christian life, God takes seemingly impossible situations, he adds the miracle of his grace, and is able to transform trial into triumph, sorrow into joy. You remember the story of Joseph? Right? His brothers sold him as a slave. Potiphar puts him in prison as a criminal. God transformed a hopeless situation of defeat into victory. Right? He said to his brothers, what you plotted for evil. No, God's used it. We're saving all kinds of people's lives here. Jesus took the cross, a symbol of defeat and shame, and transformed it into a symbol of victory and glory. What Jesus is showing us here is very different from our usual idea, right? We just think, oh no, Jesus is going to fix everything. But Jesus takes the difficult things we go through in this life, and we all go through them. He takes whatever it is that has even caused us heartbreak. And rather than making it all go away, he transforms it. Now, sometimes, and usually, it takes a long, long time. Tim Allen waited 60 years for his transformation. But he makes it a thing of beauty and grace, whatever it is in your life. He turns our challenges, he turns our sorrows, he turns them into joy. I was thinking of a song. Some of you will remember this. I was even wondering if we should ask Sean to lead us in singing it, but it really isn't a congregational song. Not the easiest to sing in a group, so thankfully I did not burden you with this one. But some of you might remember there was a contemporary Christian music artist named Evie. Remember Evie? Only 4'11", but she's going to heaven, right? And it makes you feel 10 feet tall. This is a little tiny girl from Sweden. So this was one of her hits, right? Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Then wrap up all those shattered dreams of your life and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Wounded hearts, broken toys, give them all to Jesus. He never said you'd only see sunshine. He never said there'd be no rain. But the hope that we find in him, as the song says, we can have a heart full of singing about the very thing that once brought pain. Some of you have been around for a while. You know exactly what that means, don't you? May you find that to be true, whoever you are. Even if that transformation is still waiting for someday, give them all to Jesus. He will. He will transform your sorrows into joy. Just as it must have hurt these men to hear. They heard the master say, right? One of them would betray him. We read that a couple weeks back. One of you is going to betray me. Now, how much it must hurt them. Even now, right? The time has come. You're all going to be scattered. You're all going to go to your own homes. That second part of verse 32 where he said, you will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Those are great words for us, by the way, aren't they? We who live in a world where loneliness is chronic, yet we are really never alone. Our Father in heaven is with us too. Great words for us, and important to remember because what he said next is absolutely true. In this world, he said, you will have trouble. That doesn't usually get promoted on Christian television programs, but it's true. It's what he said. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, it's not like life doesn't have all kinds of pleasant experiences. What a beautiful day today. And I don't know if you feel free, if you want to open a window or something, let some breeze in here. But no, life has all kinds of great, pleasant experiences. And for everybody, whether you're a believer or not. But I've discovered, and I think you have too, only the presence of God can truly meet the deepest needs of our heart and produce a joy. Just like that, Paul mentioned it in Philippians 4, that peace of God, right? Joy as well is something that will transcend all understanding. Joy, peace, hope. It's really only in Jesus that we can have any of that, any sense of any true and lasting peace or joy or hope. Give everything to Jesus. Maybe I should have titled the sermon that. I don't know. I have an online commentary at home. It's called Preaching the Word. Well, I don't know. I thought it would help. And the editor, a guy named Kent Hughes, don't even know who he is, he said something, and I wanted to just include it here. The notion, this notion of our sorrows, our disappointments, our hardships, being somehow transformed into joy. Well, in a very strange way, the scriptures indicate that even Jesus himself experienced that very same transformation. His deepest sorrow became the source of greatest joy. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, I think I got that right. And I got part of it there, yes. Yeah, Isaiah prophesied that this Messiah, Jesus, was despised, rejected by mankind. He was going to be a man of suffering and familiar with pain. But if we move way ahead to the New Testament book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the author describes him as one who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And says Pastor Hughes, the miracle of the cross transformed sorrow into joy for Jesus. It transformed sorrow into joy for those disciples of his. It can work the same miracle in us. That's why we're told by that author of Hebrews to fix our eyes on Jesus. So we don't grow weary. So we don't lose heart. He is the author. He's the perfecter of our faith. Paul wrote it to the Philippians. You know these words, but I wanted to dig them out again. Chapter 1 and verse 6 of Philippians. Hey, he was confident of this too. That he who began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So may our brokenness not cause us to run away and hide, but may we be willing to be broken open. Open to receive him, of course. Open to allow the fragrance of Jesus to continue to be, well, as he said, they would be rivers of living water, rivers of blessing for others around us. Take heart. Jesus says that in verse 33. Some Bibles translate that as, be of good cheer. It's one of our Lord's repeated statements of encouragement. I found out it literally means, what Jesus actually says is, cheer up. Cheer up. Every believer is either overcome or an overcomer. And several times in our lives, come to think of it. But, I mean, many things in this life are even designed to overcome us. Right? A lot of those joy stealers I mentioned. But let us continue to yield ourselves to Christ and trust him. Cheer up. Take heart. His Spirit is with us and will enable us to be overcomers. And we are overcomers because he was first overcome for us. It's God who transforms sorrow into joy. This isn't Jesus just saying, hey, gray skies are going to clear up, put on a happy face. Come on, what's wrong with you? No, he's not saying that. But let's keep believing his promise. And, keep on praying. Now, this isn't just an ad for our prayer meeting Wednesday night, but, you know, somebody has said prayer is perhaps the most highly regarded but the least employed of all spiritual disciplines. Right? Now, it's not as hard as we make it out to be. You got to find the time, but it does require, praying to the Lord does require a willingness to open ourselves before God and then give him room. Allow him to respond to our needs according to his will. Oh, and next Sunday, Lord willing, we will learn from the greatest prayer of all time. Yeah, you can read ahead this week. It's John chapter 17. It's the true Lord's Prayer. And read ahead there in John 17 because, well, you are mentioned in there.